Good morning, and welcome to worship this fourth Sunday of Advent. We want to thank you for joining us and encourage you to focus and make every effort to meet Jesus today on his birthday. If you look in your bulletin, there's just limited announcements. This week is our opportunity to serve at the Salvation Army if you're available. Next Sunday, we will be having a carol sing and meditation for the morning worship, and then we will join together for fellowship afterwards. If you're available at 2 o'clock to assist with the nursing home services at Waterview Pines, that would be appreciated too. The residents always enjoy when church services are held, and particularly the music. This afternoon, we invite you back for our 4:30 p.m. Christmas Eve Vespers. Mike Hanay will be sharing a word. And our special offering this afternoon will be for the Quad Cities Food Shelf. So I believe those are the announcements. If you would stand together and read responsibly the call to worship as it's printed in the bulletin. Something is happening that never happened before.
Are we ready?
All of our lives have prepared us for this moment.
Are we ready?
God, who comes to us in Jesus Christ, is coming to us now.
Are we ready? Let every heart prepare him room.
Turn to page hymn number 147, O Come All Ye Faithful. Most holy God, let us love not only in word and deed, but in our devotion to you, in the deepest part of our being, instill within us the truth of your constant love for all people. In your name we pray, amen.
Jesus. John 3:16-19 says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil."
The fourth Advent candle symbolizes love and adoration. We bring our Advent wreath to full blaze of light in the hope that we may see clearly all that is made known to us in the coming of Jesus. Let us pray. Revealing God, visit us and fill us with your Spirit. Bring your good news to life within us and give us courage to carry your light into the injustices and shadows of this world. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11 and verse 16, page 229 in the Pew Bible. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from the following the flock to be ruler over the people of Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all your enemies from you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people, Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever. Before me, your throne will be established forever." And from the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
We'll ask our ushers to come forward, please. From Hebrews 13:16, And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Heavenly Father, God of abundance, our hearts are full of gratitude for those who give willingly and generously. We ask for your richest blessings be poured upon them. Multiply their offerings and use them to further your work. Please stand for the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Seated. You will see in your bulletin this morning that there are some prayer requests for covenant missionaries to Haiti, the Pauls. We always pray for those serving in the military in some capacity weekly, and we pray for our public service personnel. Any other needs that are made known. This morning, I'm going to share a prayer with you. The author is John Birch, and it's specific to Christmas, to Advent, and I wanted to share that with you. So join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, through our worship today, bring us nearer in our Advent journeying to Bethlehem Stable. We will sing of your love forever, and proclaim your faithfulness to every generation, for your word is dependable and your promises are secure. A child is to be born within one nation, but for all nations. Our God will be revealed, the Son of David born in humility. The love will come down to earth as a servant king and be vulnerable. We will sing of your love forever and proclaim your faithfulness to every generation, for by grace, incomparable is our salvation. As we celebrate the gift of love within a manger and remember that Jesus Christ came for our salvation, forgive us, if our hearts are cold and faith is hard to find. Bring us back to the mother, Mary, who bore the child who would be king. Remind us of her gentleness, her faithfulness when asked to be the blessed one through whom Jesus entered the world. When you come to us with a gentle whisper or a mighty wind and ask what seems impossible to human minds, as you did with Mary, may our response not be to hesitate and make excuses or run away, but to echo instead those trusting and beautiful words, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." For Mary's faithfulness and her life of service, we thank you, Lord. Amen. And now, before we hear the message of the morning, let's join together and sing hymn number 135, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
I want to thank you all for being here today. It's a good start for the celebration of Christmas, the coming of Jesus who changed the world. The greatest event in all of history, and we'll get into that in a minute, and some of you will be thinking, well, the greatest event was Jesus when he died on the cross. Great event, no doubt. Paid for all the sins of all the world, not just us, not just believers. Paid for the sins of all the world. Or maybe you're thinking the greatest event was when God the Father raised him from the dead. Well, we'll be looking at the coming of Jesus this morning. I want to continue on in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened and which the Lord has made known to us." And so they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard that wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So I looked at the title of the message for this morning in the bulletin, and I went, "Who wrote that? Is that what I gave to Wayne? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Father's participation in the Nativity." In a way, our Father God's participation is the forgotten participation. We read about the shepherds. We read about Mary. We read about Joseph, and on and on and on. Today I want you to visit for just a moment with the magnificent glory of God intersecting in the coming of his Son to this planet. Let your minds just go wild with how incredible God presented himself around this event. It wasn't new for the Father, God. It wasn't new for Jesus, because 9 months ago, they had already done it. Jesus had already left heaven to be conceived, to be born. So they knew this was all in play. But this event of the birth of Jesus into the world was, in my opinion, the most incredible event in all of history. So I want to talk about the glory of God. And most of you know me. I went to the concordance, and I went to the lexicons, and I found out that in the Old Testament there are 11 Hebrew words that are translated into our English word glory. English is a very confining language. Went to the New Testament and I found out there were 5 Greek words that are translated into our one English word, glory. So you know, Mike, he's just got to do this thing. So here's what I did. I took all of those words and took the characteristic of those words and put them into a one sentence definition. My English teacher probably would have called it a run-on sentence. This is the glory of God. A clear, showy, gleaming, conspicuous, loud and grand lightning bolt display of the weighty, expansive excellency and grandeur of Yahweh. We know about glory. We give glory to people, great performers, great actors and actresses, great sports heroes, football players. You may see a few of them this afternoon. We give glory to people with talents, talents that I don't have. I just think people who can do them. How do you play those kinds of things? How do you make your 5 fingers, 10 fingers, do 10 different things? I have enough trouble with making one hand do something. We know what glory is. I want to look at the glory of God today. So the common characteristics of glory. First, it's sensory. The glory of God is not a thought. The glory of God is something you see, something you hear, something you touch like the hem of his garment. Second, the glory of God is an event, not a thought, an actual event. Third, the glory of God is meaningful. It's not a mystery. It's got a meaning to it that is apparent. Fourth, it's clear. It has a distinct message. Fifth, it's conspicuous. It's not done in the back room somewhere. It's right out there for people to see. Six, it gets your attention, just like the shepherds. Wow! They were stunned. And last, it dominates your attention. It's captivating it. You think about it, as Mary did, and she pondered these things. Have you ever experienced the glory of God? That's what the glory of God is. Not ideas, not thoughts, not what you went to school for. Have you ever experienced the actual sensory event of God? I think many of us have. Do you remember when you were born again? The hymn, I think, says it well. I remember it. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Well, let's review. Let's do a narrative of all the events surrounding the Nativity, Jesus' birth. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all the passages. This is just a narrative review. You know these stories. I don't have to fill in the blanks. So let's start with Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest, and by lot, you know, like throwing the dice, drawing a card, I don't know, they had some rocks or something. By chance, he was the one chosen to be the high priest. And when he went in, you know the story, a messenger of God met him and told him he was going to have a son who is going to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. Timing. God's glory. Timing for him. And of course, his wife Elizabeth. Timing for her. And when Mary came to meet with her, she prophesied to Mary the glory of God. We all know about Mary. The glory of God came to her. Gabriel, the most senior messenger of God the Father himself, was sent to tell her of what was going to happen. And then a second wave of glory, which we have no description of, the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she conceived Jesus. And then Joseph. Joseph, in a dream, was told, take Mary as your wife. Don't worry about it. Here's two people, Mary and Joseph, who are going to suffer the disdain, the put downs of their whole community because of what they chose to do. And yet, Joseph and Mary said yes. I think Joseph gets missed in the Christmas narrative a little bit because he not only had one dream, take Mary as your wife. He had a second dream, flee for your lives to Egypt. And he did it. He had a third dream, you can go back to Israel, the king is dead. He had a fourth dream, you can return to Nazareth. All four responses that Joseph had fulfilled Old Testament scripture. Do you think Joseph was paying attention to God? And then, of course, the shepherds, which we just read about. And their response is just so incredible. They see all this, they hear all this, and their immediate response is, let's go see. It doesn't say, let's go check it out to make sure. It says, let's go see this thing that God has said to us. And then we get to the Magi. Perhaps a year later, something 2 years later, I don't think it was 2 years later, because I think Herod, when he did his decree, every child under 2 years old, I think, to be killed. I think he was covering his bases. I think he figured out it must have been about a year or so when the Magi had seen the star, and he just added another year to make sure he got that future king, which he didn't, of course. But the Magi from the east of Israel. I know we sing, we three kings of Orient are. We don't know if they were from the Orient. We know they were from the east of Israel. There's some intriguing research that I came across, and that research suggests that these Magi were probably from Medo-Persia area. Remember Medo-Persia? It's where Daniel was. the one who had the greatest gift for interpreting dreams and mysteries. I wonder, after Daniel got in power and he had all of these wise men who couldn't, I wonder if he sat with them and taught them how to seek the true God and to interpret dreams and visions. And that's what this researcher had guessed at. The interesting thing is that there's only one lone verse in all of the Old Testament that references a star. And it's in Numbers 24:17. How did they find that verse and connect it? God is amazing. And so these magi, of course, they come into a foreign country, and it was wise of them to seek a meeting with the resident king. I mean, you're going to come into a country and start talking about a king. Maybe the king's going to think this is an insurrection or something. So they met with Herod. And the response of Herod is that he was stunned. And immediately what he did is he called all the smart religious people and he says, where is this king to be born? And they knew what he was talking about. Where is the Messiah to be born? And they said, of course, in Bethlehem. That's what the Old Testament prophecy says. The Magi left there with that information and went to Bethlehem. The star continued with them. And it says, and I frankly don't entirely understand it, but the star stopped right over where Jesus was born. And they worshiped this baby and gave him gifts. We don't know how many wise men, how many magi there were. We see, we sing, we three kings of Orient are, because there were three gifts. But there could have been many more magi. And they all brought those three types of gifts. And then the Magi received a dream. Remember this? And the dream was, don't go back to Herod. And they obeyed. We're not done yet. 8 days later, Mary and Joseph take Jesus into the temple to be presented. Remember what that was? The firstborn was always to be presented, given to God. And so they took him into the temple. And this Simeon dude, in Luke chapter 2, just shows up. I'll read that. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen God's Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you can let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." We're still not done. Following that, a prophetess, Anna, and in Luke 2:38, it says, "And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God. She continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Israel." I hope you get the picture. This single event in all of history, God visited, by my count, at least 15 demonstrations of his glory. Never before in the history of time until that point had God so accumulated all of his glory in so many people and in so many places and in so many ways to say, "This is my son, and he is going to change the world." What was that change? That change was the law was gone. At the cross, all sins were forgiven. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." God so loved the world, not believers, the world. Jesus died for every single person. All sins were put on Jesus at the cross. All sins have been taken care of. I like to look at it this way. Everybody who's in the kingdom of darkness, all their sins are gone. All they have to do, they don't have to sweat it. They don't have to worry about whether they're worthy or not. They don't have to think about their past. All they have to do is turn and look to Jesus and take one step into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's family. Yes, God was pointing at Jesus one time, two times, and on and on and on, saying to the world, "This is it." But here we are at Christmas. And I don't know if you've thought of the same thing, but Christmas is just filled with distractions. We have light displays, and we have puffed up snowmen or whatever those things are. And we have Christmas trees, and we have shopping, and the store sales. And we have Christmas music. And we have decorations. And we have activities. And yes, we even have myths. All of these distractions. But God wasn't distracted. And that's what I'm asking you to do this Christmas. Take some time not to be distracted. You're not going to succeed in not being distracted all day today. I know that. You're not going to succeed in being distracted all day tomorrow. So I want to give you a suggestion. Jesus said, when you talk to God, go away privately, individually, into your own room, close the door, and your Father who sees in secret will hear. So this is my suggestion. Find a time to get away, just you and God. Don't ask for anything. Just gaze into the glory of Jesus that the Father God was celebrating at his birth. Haggai 2:7 says, the desire of all nations shall come. This is Jesus. The desire of all nations. And I will fill his house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. When you get alone, privately, with the Father, I want to suggest that you go back to when you first accepted Jesus. Make it simple. Don't make it complicated. Just make it simple. Just you and him. Try to get rid of those distractions. I think Billy Graham was very wise in closing his evangelistic meetings with, just as I am, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. And now thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Just make it simple and gaze into the magnificent glory of Jesus that the Father celebrates. I'd like to close with a reading from the Covenant Home Altar dated Thursday, December 14th of this year. It's entitled, The One We Point To. Pointing other people toward Jesus will always be more important than the person doing the pointing. After all, look at John the Baptist. He lived in the wilderness. He wore clothes of camel's hair and a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. But he pointed people toward Jesus. He took himself out of the conversation as much as possible. He went so far as to declare that Jesus must become greater while he must become less. And look what happened. Too often we're waiting to be ready. We're waiting to be trained. We're waiting to have more experience. We're waiting for something. Jesus is also waiting. He's waiting for you and me to point him, to point to him. To recognize that our talent, our experience, our training isn't what will change hearts. Only Jesus can change hearts. And so when you get alone with God and take that time, go back to that place where it's just you and him for the first time. You're already saved, so you don't have to get saved again. just go back there where life was simple and you were a child before this King of Kings and celebrate with him. If it is your first time and you come to Jesus, I can guarantee you this. You will feel the glory of God. Guaranteed. Every time. Thank you, Father God, for all that you have done. We just can't say enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are willing to leave heaven to save us. We do give you the glory. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for those words and those reminders to find time to be quiet before the Lord and reflect on the fact that he sent his son to die and to be raised again in payment for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, that we are able to have that relationship with God because of that. Don't forget that Mike will be sharing again with us this afternoon for our Christmas Eve service at 4:30, and you're welcome back for that. And now, if you would find hymn number 146 in your hymnal, we will stand and sing together Joy to the World. Now, if you turn to one another, we will sing the blessing before we leave this morning.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious. to me.